If you have a Bible, please.
Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And today we will read verses 21 through 26. And this is part one of two messages. So we will not finish this passage today. So I will do part one, and next week we'll do part two of this passage. Romans 3, verses 21 and 26. Let's read it together. And we're right here. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Amen. This is the word of God. So as we walk through this, this is a very important passage. Martin Luther, the great reformer, and I quote him, he said, "This is the chief point and the very central place of the book of Romans, and perhaps the whole Bible." Leon Morris, who wrote a commentary on the book of Romans, says, "Possibly the most important single paragraph ever written." Other theologians have said, "The most important paragraph in the whole Bible." So this is kind of intimidating when theologians and pastors throughout history said, "This is the most important passage in the whole Bible." Romans 3, 21 through 26. So what I would like to do is just draw today two points from this passage. And this is part one. And next week we'll do part two. So let's walk through these verses. Let's read it again. So I broke the passage, what I think is the kind of the flow of the argument. So this is just what we read, but I just put it kind of in bullet point. Verse one, it said, but now, which represents kind of a break. So if you have been with us for the last 6, 7, 8 months, we have been walking through the first three chapters of Romans. And the argument from Romans 1:18 all the way through Romans 3:20 is like, you all have sinned. The Jews have sinned, the Gentiles have sinned, and we are all without excuse. That has been the argument. It's been like basically beating up, like, you are guilty. But he said, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested right here, apart from the law. And then he says, although, I made that parenthesis because I think that's how it should be kind of the structure, although the law and the prophets, that's basically the Old Testament, they bear witness to it, and the it is the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is available, that is not in the passage, I added that for kind of just flow. And the righteousness of God is available through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And then he says, for there's no distinction. And then in verse 23, we see this passage that we normally memorize for evangelism. For all have sinned, both Jews and Gentiles, and fall short of the glory of God. This is one of the passages that we use, those verses, for the Roman road. So that is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then, and that, in verse 23, has been their argument in Romans 1:18 through 3:20. That one in verse here. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God, that's whom is referring to Christ Jesus, whom God the Father put forward as a propitiation. That's a big word, propitiation. Normally you don't use that when you go to Whole Foods or Publix. Propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And then he says, this was to show God's righteousness because of his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. Verse 26, he was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he, God, might be just, meaning judging sin, and also the justifier granting saving righteousness to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Basically, that God will be just, judging people, but also the justifier saving people in Christ Jesus. So that's the flow of the passage. So with that, the first point. Justification is a gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ, in which we are declared righteous by grace. Justification is a gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ, in which we are declared righteous by grace. If I go back, if you see here, I kind of underlined three words: justification, redemption, and propitiation. So today I will only deal with justification. Next week with redemption and propitiation. So this is the first point. Let me go back to the argument. He says, but now, that now, the righteousness of God, that now represents a beginning. But now, it represents a chronological and eschatological reality. Like at the present time, something has happened. The new age has arrived. And this is the same argument that Paul makes when he opens the letter. In Romans 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he, this is God, promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, in the Old Testament. So this is not new. He promised that, but now it's here. This is not like an afterthought. This is not Paul coming up with a new idea. This righteousness of God, this blessing, this justification is something that he, God, promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning whom? Jesus, his son, who was a descendant from David according to the flesh. So that is what we see here. But it's not only in Romans that he makes that point. He also makes the same point in Ephesians. Let me read Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, meaning that he was in prison because of the gospel, on behalf of the Gentiles, you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. And I have written briefly, since this mystery is not like something that was there, was covered, now has been revealed. He says, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations in the past. And it has now been revealed in his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish, are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This promise, this blessing that was given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to David, is also available to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So, but it was not revealed in the past, but now we can see it, the promise of redemption for all people who have faith in Jesus. He says the same in Galatians 3, verse 8. This is what he says. And the scripture, let's go back to the iPad. There you go. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. I mean, it's the Bible, foreseeing, like in the future, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, not by works, by faith, preached the Bible, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. So the gospel, he says, was preached to Abraham when? When he said, in you shall all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that is Genesis 12. When God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will bless you, and in you and through you, all the families, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He was announcing the gospel. Because in Christ Jesus, that salvation is available to all people. And that's what he says, but now. So I've been talking about how guilty all people are, but now that righteousness has been revealed in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the righteousness of God. And that's what he says in verse 21. Let's go to 21 now. But now the righteousness of God, not of man, but of God, has been manifested apart from the law. You don't have to do something. It's apart from the law that that righteousness is being manifested. Although the law and the prophet bear witness to it. It's not like the law is contradicting the righteousness. In fact, the law and the prophet, they point toward the righteousness of God. And then he says, in verse 22, he says in 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The righteousness of God. So I want you to see how the argument that he makes here is the same argument that he makes in 1:17 when he talks about the gospel. Right here. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophet bear witness to it. For in the righteousness of God is revealed. You say here's revealed here, and he said manifested here. From faith for faith, apart from the law. And it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. So here we see the same point that he made at the beginning of the letter, that our righteousness is not accomplished through our works, through the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That righteousness is a gift to us that we receive as we come to Jesus Christ. And in both passages, he says, manifested and revealed. Let's go back to the iPad. Manifested and revealed. And it's the righteousness of God. So it comes from God, not from us. In the gospel, he says, in it, that's the gospel, in the gospel, and it's apart from the law. So it's not from the law. It is in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus, that this righteousness is revealed and is given to us and is available to all people through faith. And this is so important because it's from God, the righteousness of God. It's not our righteousness. It's something that comes from outside of us. It's something that is given to us. I don't think we have middle schoolers here. But in middle school, normally you learn about active and passive verbs. I don't know if you remember, some of you maybe don't remember anything about middle school. But an active verb and a passive verb. What is the difference? Maybe Zeke, who's 12, will know what is an active verb and a passive. You don't know, Zeke? Okay, that is fine. I love the honesty. It was not a real question, Zeke. In an active verb, you are the one doing the action. In a passive verb, you are the one receiving the action. So here, we are justified by God. So the justification is not something that we do, it's something that is done to us. We receive the justification. He said, we have been justified. It's in the passive. We have received the justification. We have been made just, righteous from the outside. Not something that we do, which is very different from how the world think. The world think that we have an external problem with an internal solution. The problem is out there, and the solution is inside of me here. But the Bible says it's the opposite. We have an internal problem, our sin, and there's an external solution, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The solution to the problem comes from the outside, from God himself. And that's the point that he makes here. We are being justified. You don't do the justification, you receive it. It happens to you. God does the justification. He is the one who justifies. How? By giving us his righteousness, which is not our own, a righteousness that comes by faith. God justifies sinners, and he makes them righteous in Christ Jesus. And justification is an event. It happens once in the life of the believer. This is me happening once, like, one time. Justification is an event. It is a declaration of the just who says, you are righteous. It happens once. It's not a process. It's an event. This is important. And a lot of people get confused about this. This is why. If you ask people, do you remember when you were saved? And they say, well, I was saved. Some people tell you, oh yes, I was saved March the 12th of 1985. Well, I was saved in July of 2005. And I remember that I was sitting at church, the pastor preached the gospel, I came forward, and that day I was saved. I have it in my Bible. Great. That is beautiful, and that's a blessing. But then you ask some people, do you know when you were saved? I say, I don't know. I was saved from 2005, from 2008. During that season, God was working in my life, and I know I was saved. You don't need to know when you got saved to know that self-justification is an event. It's not a process. Sanctification is a process that begins after justification. For example, I don't know the day I was saved, but I know that one day, during one period that I was wrestling with the Lord and reading the Bible, the Lord saved me. But I cannot point like that specific day. But the fact that I don't know that which day it was does not make that it was not one day and one moment that the judge said, you are justified. You are righteous in my sight because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And that is what a justification is. And that's something, an event that God does in us when he declares us just, righteous in his sight on account of the work of Jesus. So that's the first thing that we see here. Number two. This is number two. The work of Christ is the basis of our justification. Only in Christ we can be made right with God. the work of Christ is the basis of our justification. Only, and this is important, only, exclusively, only in Christ we can be made right with God. You know, one of the most important questions in the Bible is how a righteous, just God can forgive guilty sinners. The world will ask the opposite. The world will ask, how can God send people into eternal punishment? But the Bible actually does not struggle with that question. The big question in the Bible, how can a just God forgive sinners and bring them to heaven with himself? Let me ask you, are you struggling today, this evening, how God can show me grace after what I have done? How God can give mercy to me after what I have done to him and to my family? How God can do this? That is the question that the Bible is asking. And if we don't ask that question ourselves, we would not be able to understand the grace and the power of the cross of Christ. Job, in the book of Job, asked this question. How then can man be right before God? And he is asking this question in chapter 25, but there's not an answer to the question. How can man be justified before God, says the King James? How? There's not an answer. And the whole Old Testament, the question was asked, but nobody's given an answer. How can guilty people be justified, be forgiven, going to heaven without God being guilty of injustice? Because if we see someone committing a crime in the streets, we say, guilty. That person needs to be punished. So easy for us. If we don't see this person receiving the penalty of the law, we say, this country is corrupted. The legal system is a disaster. There's no justice here. You see, he broke the law. He should be in prison. And that is the question that the Bible asks. How is it possible? Let's go back to the iPad. How is it possible for the righteousness of God to declare the unrighteous to be righteous without either compromising his righteousness or overlooking the unrighteousness? Do you know any person, unsafe person, who's wrestling with that? I don't think so. How is it possible that a just God can justify guilty people? And the question is, God justifies the ungodly because Christ died for the ungodly. That is the answer. And that answer is found here, but is also found in Romans 4 and 5. This is what it says, Romans 4. But the one who does not work, but believes, is not by works, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. God gives grace to the ungodly. But his faith, the one who believes, faith is credited as righteousness. In Romans 5, 6, he says, for while we were still helpless at the right time, but now, he says in here, Christ died for the ungodly. This is how God justifies the ungodly without being unjust, because Christ paid the penalty for the ungodly. That's how you and I, who should be in hell today, are saints on our way to heaven because Christ died for us and we have believed in him. And when we understand that, we will treasure, love the work of Jesus. When we understand that not because something that we did, but what Christ did, we will love Jesus more. We'll be humble. We will rejoice in his grace because Christ died for the ungodly. If we don't feel like he needed to die for us, then we see ourselves as righteous, which means we are self-righteous, which means we are not saved. But if we see ourselves in need of his grace, and we understand that he died for us, then we'll receive him through faith, and then we'll be righteous. And that is the point that we see here, that God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And that is the message of this part one, that in Christ we are justified by faith, by the grace of God.